Welcome to the Wahoo Central Podcast, which comes to you every week from the McHugh Center at the University of Virginia. I'm Jeff White, Director of News Content for VirginiaSports.com. And my guest on this overcast spring morning is Kevin Sauer, head coach of the UVA rowing team. Kevin, welcome back.
Thanks, Jeff.
Before we talk about your current team, let's go back to the beginning. In the fall of 1988, you came to Virginia from Purdue, your alma mater, to oversee the UVA men's and women's club programs. What were the odds then that you'd still be here three decades later?
Zero. Zero.
What did you think when you came here? What kind of were your expectations for the job, and who hired you? The club itself?
Yeah, it was kind of funny because I had come from a club program at Purdue,
right?
So I wasn't afraid of that. A club program at UVA, and the program at Purdue was still, you know, not paying very much. I couldn't support a family on it. I was building houses on the side. It was crazy, and they offered me a semi-livable wage at the time. And we had two small children, and my wife came and looked at it and said, great place to raise a family. And we said, let's go for it. But I didn't think I'd be here very long.
Right.
Because it still wasn't a whole lot of money. It was a club program. I wanted to coach, you know, a varsity program again someday, that kind of stuff. And so we didn't think it would, you know, it'd be crazy.
7 years later, the fall of 1995, women's rowing became a varsity sport at Virginia. Before you came to Charlottesville in the first place, had anyone said that was this is a possibility, this could happen if things work out?
No, not at all. It was come in, take this program, build it up as best you can, and we'll see where it goes. And then as we kind of went through that, we started hearing NCAA talking about rowing being an emerging sport, identified emerging sport, and that, you know, I thought, well, maybe, you know, it could be a varsity sport. And actually in 1991, we asked the administration here, UVA, to take both men and women varsity, and we actually came pretty close. But then that kind of died, and then 93, 94, started hearing some rumors, and then got called in by Jim Copeland, the late Jim Copeland, and you know, started asking about, like, well, what would it take for us to have a rowing team, you know, and that type of thing. And so kind of laid it out over several meetings, and then they decided to do it, pull the trigger on it, and yeah, it was pretty cool.
Was there a boathouse on the reservoir then?
We had just finished. I just built the boathouse that we're in now in 94, 95 as a club program. So obviously the men's club still owns that boathouse. And so we rent space in that. And that helps the men's club because we, you know, pay for that space. And so, yeah, we had a lake. We had a boathouse. We had a fast club team. It was like kind of hit the track.
Did that
running.
Make you more attractive as a candidate, the fact that you could build something with your background building houses? Is that this guy can actually build a boathouse if we need it?
Yeah, well, I don't know. It was already done, so maybe it's a euphemism for, well, if he can build a boathouse, maybe he can build a program. I don't know. But it was like one of those things where I think it was like, okay, we got a lake, we got a boathouse, we got a coach. Let's make this as simple as possible. And Copeland, you know, hired me and said, you're going to be the coach starting next year.
This is your 20th season as head coach of the varsity women's team. Do you ever allow yourself to sit back and reflect on the program you've built here and how far it's come since that first day?
Not too much. I figure if I start to reflect, then I'll lose my edge.
Yeah.
So, every once in a while after the season's over, you kind of look back and you kind of like, we've added on the boathouse since then. We've improved the upstairs since then, that type of thing. So, you know, we've done some improvements and we've got, you know, better equipment and that type of thing, a better dock. But the basic stuff is still the same. You know, it's people, it's water. It's a hard sport, and you reflect on the fact that, like, it changes over personnel.
Right.
But, you know, it's the same thing, and just happy to be here and happy to keep this thing rolling.
You have about 70 rowers on the roster this spring, and managing a team of that size presents major logistical challenges, I know. Has the program grown over the years, or what did it start with?
Yeah, I mean, it started smaller than that, but I mean, it's anywhere from 50 to 70 each year, depending on the year. But yeah, it has challenges. You've got to mobilize that many people. They have to get 5 miles away from grounds. You have 5 miles of water. You know, managing that many people, yep, in in boats on water, 5 miles away from grounds. It can be a challenge sometimes, but it goes with the territory.
How many boats are on the water when you're training, typically?
I mean, we could have 8 or 9 boats, like, you know, 4/8s, 4/4s, you know, that type of thing. If we're rowing small boats in the fall, we could have 8 pairs, 8 singles, 4/4s. You know, we could have – it's a lot of stuff, yeah.
You've won 2 NCAA team championships here, the first in 2010, the second 2 years later. Has that changed the way you evaluate a season once it's over? Are you more disappointed now anytime your program doesn't finish first at NCAAs than maybe you would have been a decade ago before you'd won one?
Yeah, good question. I think we always had aspired to win, and we ended up second several times and just short of that. And then, you know, so it's like, oh, man. And then you finally win one, and then you feel like, oh, okay, like we can do it. And you're winning another one a couple years later, and now you're going like, okay, well, wow, since 2012, 13, 14, we've gotten fifth. And it's like, oh, that's really disappointing. And then I got to kind of reflect and say, well, wait a minute.
We just
finished fifth in the country. It's not bad, you know. So it's not like that we're, you know, upset about being fifth or something like that, motivated to do better. But also we have to realize that things ebb and flow, you know, and nobody stays at the top forever. You know, Duke lost to Mercer last year and then win the title
this
year.
They won the whole thing.
You know, so it's like, wow, you know, so things ebb and flow. Sport, life ebbs and flows. And so you kind of got to roll with it a little bit. But I think the key thing for us is that not, you know, thinking about winning a national title all the time, but prepare these kids for excellence each and every day. Demand excellence from them, help them to excel, achieve what they want to achieve, and let that other stuff take care of itself because you're trying to do as well as you can each and every day.
How much has the landscape of the sport changed nationally during your tenure? Ohio State has won the past 2 NCAA titles, and that's a program that a decade ago wasn't really in the conversation, was it?
No, they weren't. Andy Teitelbaum there has done a fantastic job. They just finished a new boathouse last year, $7 million boathouse at Ohio State. And he says that, you know, boathouses don't make boats go fast, but it really kind of sealed for them, like, wow, this university cares about what we're doing.
Right.
And the kids kind of was an impetus to kind of get over the hump a few years ago when that was finished. And but, yeah, they were not as big a conversation as they are now. They're good again. They could win it again. But, yeah, the landscape changes. You know, you get other sports. They're 20 years old this year as well at Ohio State. But, you know, it took them a while. They weren't as good as a club sport as we were when we started, that kind of thing. But they've done a great job. And so each and every year there's a new player, you know, but there's a lot of parity across the top 20 teams or so in the country. And so in any given year, you just never know what's going to happen.
There have been 15 ACC regattas all time. Virginia has won 14 of them, which speaks to the dominance of your program in the conference. Is the gap between UVA and the rest of the conference likely to get smaller over the next decade? Are any of the new members, Notre Dame, Syracuse, and Louisville, schools that have championship aspirations in rowing?
Absolutely. And yeah, that has really qualified our conference by adding those 3 schools. Not that we were a poor conference before, but anytime you add teams like that and the resources that those 3 schools have, Louisville has got a lot of resources, Notre Dame does as well, Syracuse does as well. When you add those kind of resources and those kind of historical athletic excellence that those schools have, you're gonna amp everything up.
One of the cornerstones of your program, I know, is the importance of staying humble and hungry. I heard you say recently that this team has not had any problem with the humble part of that equation this season. In the latest polls, Virginia is number 4, behind Cal at number 3, Brown at number 2, and Ohio State at number 1. Things haven't been that bad, though, have they?
No. I think the pollsters recognize that we're pretty good. The Varsity Eights lost 4 times, though. You know, we've lost to Stanford, Cal,
Ohio State,
and Michigan by just a little bit. But we've lost, you know, but our lower boats have done very well. The 2V8s only lost once. The 4 has lost once, you know. So it's just one of those things where we're racing the very best every weekend. And people recognize that and see, like, okay, yeah, they lost, but who'd they lose to? and it wasn't by much.
Yeah.
And so they, I think they respect the program enough to realize, like, wow, they've lost quite a bit, but they are also racing some really fast people, and that's why we do what we do, because I want these kids to see the best speed in the country. And when they see that, you might lose, but you're also going to be in a position where you go like, wow, but we're racing the best, you know, and we can see where we're at, you know. And so I think that's really kind of, you know, it's hard in some ways, but it's also like, okay, but there's not a whole lot of people that are faster than this.
Right.
So if we can
do
this.
I mean, is that better than racing a soft schedule midseason and then getting out to NCAAs and finding out?
That's my theory.
Yeah.
I mean, you see, like, I do a lot of analogies with basketball. You know, you see somebody like Michigan State that made the Final Four. They lost 11 times.
Yep.
You know, Duke lost to Miami at home. Right? I mean, that kind of stuff. And then when these delays. So it's like, that's the kind of stuff that, you know, when you have a schedule that's really tough, you may lose, but you also harden. You get some resolve. And you really figure out, like, okay, what is it going to take? You know that going in versus, like, you know, like, I wonder if we're fast.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you don't know because you haven't raced anybody that's really, really fast. So we err on the side of, okay, we might get beat, but we're going to know who's fast.
You hosted the ACC Big Ten Challenge at Lake Monticello last Saturday. It was a seriously windy day. I don't have to tell you that. How much did the conditions affect the racing? And because I know it, the conditions were the same for every team out there, but do you draw fewer conclusions from races like that where weather is such a big part of it?
Yeah, you might. You know, the conditions are the same for everybody, but you might see that, oh, okay, that this crew got neutralized a little bit, their strength got neutralized a little bit, or that. But you really don't know. I mean, you really don't know. It's you know, I look at it, it's an outdoor sport, it's race day, figure it out. And so, you know, we got beat fair and square by crews that are a little faster than us with the boats that we lost. And so, yeah, you'll never hear me say, oh, we lost because of the weather. You know, no way. We may not have done quite as well as we would have or that kind of stuff. Who knows? But, you know, on that day, we got beat.
Yesterday, I got a sneak preview of the Virginia Sports TV feature on rowing that will be shown on the Chasing Uncompromised Excellence program. And it was fascinating stuff. Luke Goldstein put it together, and the video highlights the fact that 47 of your former rowers are either doctors or in med school studying to become doctors. That's an amazing statistic. What is it about the sport that attracts future doctors, at least at Virginia, and helps prepare them for the medical profession?
We did the math on that a couple of years ago. I was actually shocked. I thought, there's a lot of doctors in our team. So I did the math and kind of looked into it, and it's like, yeah, 47. So that's over two per year per class that are MDs, and there's a lot of PhDs too. I think it's it's a lot of sports like this, but our sport in particular is it's such a work ethic type of sport.
Discipline.
It is discipline. There's a lot of work ethic. And the harder you work at this sport, the more you get out of it. It's not necessarily an athletic sport. You know, it's like you don't have to have a great spiral. You don't have to have a great jump shot. You're sitting on a seat on tracks, you know, so it's like pretty confined for you. You just got to put the oar in the water, haul on it, and do it again and again and again. And yes, there is some finesse to it, and there is some rhythm and all that kind of stuff. There is some athletic movements. There's no doubt about it. But it's pretty simple, and hard work pays off. And if the attitude the kids have to persevere in a sport like this and the amount of time we spend training vis-a-vis actual racing, it's like 600 to 1, you know? So it's like crazy, you know?
Training to, yeah.
Yeah, you know? So it's like crazy. You have to be a little bit crazy to even do the sport. And, you know, think about what doctors go through. You go through 4 years of med school, and then you do internships and residencies and all this kind of stuff. You're looking ahead. You go like, well, that's like 9-10 years before I actually make some money, you know. And
yep.
So you have to have some perseverance, you know. And so I think that's maybe the analogy there is like, wow, you're looking ahead. You're looking out here a little bit further. It's not – this sport is not instant gratification, you know. It's not at all. And it's not a lot of glory, and you got to put in a lot of work. And I think, you know, becoming a doctor is definitely not instant gratification. You know, so maybe that's the analogy.
Your assistant coaches are Brett Gorman, Josh Gautreaux, and they do great work. Another member of your staff has what must be one of the most interesting jobs in the athletic department. That would be Roger Payne, who's in his 15th season as your boatman. How did you get Roger to Charlottesville, and what exactly does a boatman do?
Yeah. Well, Roger and I have known each other for like 40 years almost, and he's a little older than me, so it's good for me to have somebody older than me around. But he wrote the University of Washington. We've known each other forever. He's been here since 2005, so I think it's like 11 years now, 12 years. And he, when I finally got a boatman position here, you know, the pay wasn't that great, you know, and he like called me up and said, what do you think about me? And I said, well, I'd love for you to come. He was at Wisconsin for 11 years, and he was a rowing coach before that at Oregon State, and actually built boats for Pocock Racing Sales out in Seattle. Right. So he had an unbelievable experience. And I said, Roger, do you know how much this pays? You know, and he goes, yeah, I know. He says, but, you know, they're big gardeners, him and Kathy, his wife. And but Kathy wants to grow peaches, and you can't grow peaches in Wisconsin, right? So I go, hey, whatever reason, I don't care. Like, come on, you know. So we hired him, and it's been great. And
so when you race in California, as you will at the NCAA championships, yep. He will drive the boats from Charlottesville across country,
right? He will. And he does a lot of road trips. Some of them I go with him. The California one I won't. But he takes care of all the equipment, all the boats, makes sure the motorboats are running, makes sure the rowing machines are functional, you know, just everything that's mechanical about the program. He's invaluable. And we named a boat after him on Saturday.
That's great.
Because he's just invaluable to the program, and it's something that we could do to recognize all the hard work.
And I mentioned to you when I saw you recently that I'd read the book Boys in the Boat, as many other people have done, and was fascinated by it. He's from that kind of rowing family, right?
Yep, he's from Washington, yeah.
And he knows a lot of those guys. And then he worked for the
Pocock brothers, yeah. And he's, like, unbelievable. And so he knows a lot of those guys. I know him too, but he knows them really well, a lot of those guys. And that book has been fantastic. And he actually did a talk to the local community about Boys in the Boat last week. And there was 100 people there, and very well received. And that book has done more to expose the sport of rowing to the masses than anything that anybody's ever done, because it's in book clubs and people come up to me and go, oh my gosh, Kevin, I read Boys in the Boat. I had no idea that your sport was so cool. And I said, I've been trying to tell you that all this year, you know, but it's a pretty cool book.
Well, if they make a movie of it, which I suspect they will.
Yes.
That'll do even more.
Yep.
All right. Last question. I know you got to run. In February, you were named head coach of the United States men's team that will compete in the under-23 World Championships in Bulgaria this summer. You've been the head coach of the U.S. under-23 women's team at three other World Championships. How different is it coaching men than women?
Yeah, it's not that different. I mean, there's some things, you know, that maybe emotions are a little bit different. You know, I don't know. It's not that different, though. It really isn't. And but for me, it's like the first time I coached guys in 20 years. And I'm really looking forward to the change and that type of thing. And I know when I coached under 23 women, it was really an infusion for me. You know, it was just a really cool time. And I'm really looking forward to doing it on the men's side as well. And helping them as much as I can. But it'll be a lot of fun.
Kevin, as always, thank you for your time. Good luck the rest of the season.
Thanks, Jeff.
I'll be back next week with another Wahoo Central podcast. Until then, remember to check VirginiaSports.com for updates on all 25 of our teams. And thanks for listening.